I think today there is concern, although these rules have been around for many, many years in the form that they currently exist in the Federal Acquisition Regulation or the FAR. The concern today is that there is a perception that's sort of been brewing for a while that because of the number of contractor personnel that support the government, acquisition decisions in the government may potentially at least be unduly influenced by contractors. Congress appears to have had this concern when it enacted the Weapons System Acquisition Reform Act. I think actually in practice the agencies do a good job with OCIs because, as I said, the rules have been around for a long time, the current rules. But that's there's some perception issues about the blended workforce. And those popped up certainly in the WSARA statute. There have been decisions from the GAO and the Court of Federal Claims in some cases that did show that the government wasn't sufficiently thorough in analyzing and mitigating organizational conflicts of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And while these decisions involve a very small number of acquisitions, the nature of the problems revealed over a period of 15 years or so has caused some concerns. And I really should note here that almost all of these cases, when the government went back and did do a proper analysis, that and there was a subsequent protest, that protest was denied.
Okay, so we're talking about perception, but we're also talking about reality, too. I wanted to clarify that, too.
Well, the reality is we have a proposed new rule. And the perception, which is based on a lot of things, as I said, I mean, the realities are that there are a lot of contractor personnel supporting the government. The realities are that there have been some GAO and Court of Federal Claims decisions that said that, you know, the government didn't do an adequate analytical job or an adequate mitigation job. And the realities are we have a new statute. So those are the things I think that have led to a change in a regulation that's actually been around for many, many years. Something else that's getting people's attention today is that I think contractors are finding that some agencies are really unwilling to do an OCI analysis, maybe with this is a phenomenon that's kind of surfaced in the last couple of years.
Really?
Or to permit mitigation. Instead, the agencies are like, you know, this is very difficult. We just want to avoid an OCI. We don't want an issue. We don't want the risk. And so what they'll do is just say, this company can't participate in the procurement, or you have to, as a company, you have to divest yourself of a particular area of business. And those kinds of decisions by some government agencies also have the contracting community, I think, very interested in this topic.
Now, you know exactly what you're talking about. You chaired the acquisition advisory panel, and the recommendation from that was that the rules be reviewed and revised for that clarification?
Well, certainly for clarification. The panel, of course, had a whole chapter that looked at, in its report, that looked at the issues associated with the blended workforce. But the specific recommendation regarding organizational conflicts of interest really is the product of the panel going back and looking at those rules, the age of them, and the fact that despite there were 15 years of GAO and Court of Federal Claims decisions providing guidance on the rules, that the rules had not been updated. And so the panel recommended that the rules be reviewed and updated. And that's what this proposed rule makes an attempt to do. And in some aspects, it does a very good job of it.
I noticed that, and not just with the acquisition and contracting side of things, but on a lot of different things throughout the federal government, rules need to be reviewed because they are so dated, 10, 15, 20, 25 years in some cases. In a situation like this, would you say that the new rules, as they are updated, need to be flexible enough to grow with the changing times, that this sort of needs to be a living document?
Well, you know, there's a lot of debate about, you know, how much the OCI rules needed to change. Certainly, there's been a lot of decisional law that has provided guidance that's not provided in the rules as they exist today in the FAR. And a lot of the examples, frankly, in the FAR are outdated. So while the underlying concepts may be still valid, the explanations and the guidance that's provided to contractors and to agencies needed to be updated to provide some predictability in this area. And the proposed rule is a, as I said, is a good effort to do that. There's some very good aspects to it, and then there's some parts of it that are I think, potentially troublesome and going to cause confusion.
Well, let's talk about both of those. Let's start with the good and then work our ways to the troublesome. What's the good stuff that you saw?
Well, some of the interesting things in the rule, I think, are it takes a different approach to defining OCI. The current FAR definition talks about, you know, other activities or relationships of the contractor. It's quite open-ended. And the proposed rule actually takes some advice from the panel, and it identifies the three particular types of OCIs that have been recognized in GAO and court decisions. And it establishes the definition of OCI based on the contractor's relationship to another government contract, grant, cooperative agreement, or an OT, another transaction. So it's a more workable definition, I think. Secondly, and this addresses a concern a lot of people had, the proposed rule states a policy preference for mitigation. It's possible it doesn't provide enough guidance to show contracting officers how to determine when mitigation is appropriate and what kind of approaches are going to work best. But it definitely establishes a preference for mitigation, and there was some concern as a result of enactment of the WSARA legislation that mitigation might be off the table in several instances. That's another real positive. You know, some of the other things it does, I think, that are helpful, and obviously time won't permit us to go, the large rule won't permit us to go over all of them. It also establishes specific coverage for task and delivery order contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And since it, for most, for those contracts, since the requirement for the, that the government's actually purchasing against doesn't really get established until the ordering phase, this process really makes sense because earlier the government can't really address OCIs if it doesn't know what its requirements are. Once it knows what its requirements are, then it can address whether it actually has a conflict that needs to be identified and dealt with. So that's another, I think, helpful aspect of the proposed rule.
Are there any troubling aspects?
Well, there's some confusing parts. One confusing part is its treatment of commercial items. Commercial item contracts are basically subject to the OCI regime as it's defined in the proposed rule, with the exception of commercial off-the-shelf items. And the rationale for that treatment appears to be that because things that are sold, you know, in retail stores are commercial off the shelf, they don't need to be subjected to the OCI regime because they're sold in substantial quantities in the commercial marketplace, and they can't really be adjusted. The problem here is that there are lots of other things that are not commercial off the shelf items, but that are also sold in substantial quantities in the commercial marketplace, and it's not really clear why there's been a distinction made. The only thing DOD says is that it believes acquisition of commercial services may not be free from OCI concerns. There's just no other explanation offered.
So it's not that there's a fuzzy line or that there's not a definition. It is that there is this definition and you're not sure why.
And yeah, and it doesn't offer a lot of explanation. And you know, Amy, before we go further, one thing we need to make very clear here, this is a proposed DOD rule. It's a proposed amendment to the Defense Acquisition Supplement. And it's really a result of the Weapons System Acquisition Reform Act. That's what they're trying to implement. So right now, if the rule is adopted or modified and adopted, it would apply to DOD contractors. There has been, really since the time that the Acquisition Advisory Panel's report was issued in July of 2007, there has been a pending FAR case to amend the FAR OCI rule. And, you know, my understanding is that that's actually made good progress and could be issued shortly, but DOD has gone ahead and done theirs, and DOD is saying if and when the FAR rule is issued, then they will make it whatever adjustments they need to make for things that need to be DOD specific.
Let's talk a bit about where this goes from here, what people need to be watching for. This is a process, and as you said, it is a proposed rule, and they are accepting comment, I think, until June or July?
Well, the introduction to the rule, the preamble, says that DOD would like comments back by June 21st, I believe is the date. But then farther down, they say, gee, we'd really like them in 30 days.
Oh.
It would be more helpful if you would get them to us in 30 days. And I'm inferring from that they're feeling some time pressure, and also that may be helpful in informing the FAR rule. So people need to be aware if they've got things to say about this rule, they need to say them sooner rather than later. There's a downside that we haven't talked about, a couple of them. One is, for some reason, there's a very burdensome disclosure requirement that's been put into the clauses in the rule. For the first time, this rule would actually establish contract clauses that go into different types of contracts. The current FAR rule doesn't do that. And one of those clauses both requires the contractor to make a disclosure of OCIs if they're aware of them, and that's not really a new concept. But added to that, the contractor is obligated to provide to the government huge amounts of information describing other work it has performed on contracts or subcontracts within a five-year past period that is, quote-unquote, associated with the offer that it is planning to submit. And what associated with means isn't defined. So it's a huge volume of potential material that's going to be very burdensome for contractors, both large and small, I think, maybe harder for some of the larger ones, actually, but for just because of how many contracts they may have had. But, of course, they're going to be trying to apply this standard to a period when it wasn't in effect. So it's going to be very difficult, I think. And my suspicion is people are going to over-disclose, and they're going to be providing huge amounts of information, which the government is then going to have to analyze and determine whether there is anything in there since the government has asked for it. So it's burdensome on the contractor. If there's an after-discovered conflict that pops out of, or a potential conflict that pops out of this information after contract award, there's potential implications for the mandatory disclosure rule. And then I think there's protest implications because the government is going to be expected to carefully analyze all of this material. So this part needs to be addressed a little differently. Obviously, the government needs information to be able to decide and determine whether there are OCI concerns. I'm not sure they need 5 years or this very soft associated with definition. I understand the concern that the government has about organizational conflicts, but we are talking in many respects here about appearances. Something can appear to a particular person as a potential conflict and may not turn out to be an actual conflict. And if companies or potential bidders are excluded or required to divest themselves, then there's less competition. So there's a real need to be thoughtful here about balancing this OCI process with competition. I mean, a too aggressive OCI policy and implementation could actually increase sole source contracting. So there really is a need to be thoughtful about, looking carefully to see what the conflict is and whether it can be mitigated.